Amazing!
Frank actually seemed interested in this story, Dale thought cynically.
That one chunk of quartz would be worth the yearly economic output of a city. That was before it was inscribed. To think, all of these amazing events happened up here in the middle of nowhere. And well, the cursed earth is concerning, of course, but we will have to study it before making any decisions.
He shooed the group off when they had nothing else to report, telling them he would be busy for a few days, looking into these matters.
Well, that was certainly interesting.
Craig looked at Dale, whose face was still drawn from the stress and sudden events. Taking pity on him, Craig continued,
Let's go kill some mobs, shall we? That'll calm your nerves a bit.
He punched Dale on the arm, getting a weak smile back for his camaraderie.
Anything you say, Craig. It has been one heck of a morning, you know?
Dale sounded exhausted already. A cheerful Hans came to the rescue.
These things happen, and the longer you live, the worse you'll see. That's why we're training you up, so you can take care of yourself when we all move on. You can't stay here forever, right?
Dale's face clouded.
I hadn't really thought about it. I've never been off these mountains, and I... You know what? Yeah, let's go kill something.
That's the spirit, Hans shouted. To battle!
Taking off at a run for the dungeon, the others had to hurry to catch up. They couldn't let him have all the kills, after all.
Cal.
They are later than normal,
I conversed with Danny optimistically.
Think they're getting complacent?
More likely they were looking at the new building and the giant window you made into here,
Danny muttered reproachfully, making me look up at the growing crowd of people above us. They sure did seem excited to see my room.
Hard to blame them for looking at my beautiful work, after all.
I was preening under all of the attention I was getting.
Voyeurs,
Danny muttered, hostility coming off her in waves.
I gotta stay invisible all the time now.
Well, that is the price we pay for this glorious sunshine,
I teased her, projecting the image of a lazy person stretching. She huffed at me.
Fine. You'll miss my pretty colors soon enough. How is Dale's group doing? It is them again, right?
It is. Apparently I didn't do a lick of permanent damage to them yesterday. Dale must have healed really fast for him to be dancing around like that.
I was watching the energetic lad bouncing around with his stick.
At least they seem to be having trouble finding the right path today. Looks like that system worked out.
Indeed, they were even now moving toward a dead end. On the first floor, though, so they quickly were able to bypass the trap and move back to the correct path. I decided to listen in on their conversation.
Did I just pick the wrong path?
Dale was asking.
I thought I could just watch the essence. Were you guys just testing me?
He looked around at the stony faces.
I swear I am using the technique.
He finished desperately when no one talked.
It's not that, kid. Chill.
Hans waved him down, speaking in a perplexed tone.
I thought that was the right way as well. What do you think, Craig?
No idea,
Craig's tense voice muttered.
It's all different today.
Steve chimed in softly.
This may be dangerous, boys. If we can't tell where to go, we may walk directly into traps. Be extra careful today.
Vigilance!
Roared Josh, badly startling everyone. A couple of them even had to force themselves to stop attacking on reflex. With a withering glance, Steve rounded on Josh.
Yes, thank you for your input. Very helpful.
I chuckled at that.
Danny, looks like there is some infighting going on here. I didn't think this would be enough to make them panic like they are.
Losing your way can be scary,
Danny shuddered.
Pfft, I don't get it. It's not a big deal.
You can't get lost. You don't go anywhere.
Danny gasped at my nonchalant dismissal. I quickly directed her attention away.
Oh, look, they're fighting the boss.
They had made their way through the admittedly easy first-floor maze, quickly ending the useless boss, which made me explode with frustration again.
Damn it! Stupid thing always dies!
I judgmentally thought of the weak plant-based monster.
Why not put more mobs in there? Or a squad and call him the boss?
Danny seemed perplexed at my dislike of the current boss.
Is that a good idea? Then they know what to expect on the next floor.
I think they already know. The squad system is too strong already for most of the groups, even though they are common mobs on the second floor. I do agree that the first floor is too easy. A squad will be a good challenge, at least.
What would I do with the bloody Bane? I know it is stupid, but I made it, and I don't want to just toss it away.
She was ruthless, probably sick of me complaining about it all the time.
It's weaker than your common mobs. How about put it near acid traps and pitfalls? Pull people into them instead of hoping they fall on their own, or use it as a sacrifice to set traps off. That works really well with that injured basher, right? Plus, the first floor is so weak now that Dale's group is just waltzing on through. Dale could clear it by himself now. Heck, when is the last time someone even got badly injured there?
Danny stopped my interjection with a harsh truth.
You need to devote some of your essence to upkeep and upgrades, not just constant expansion.
Bah! What's wrong with hoarding?
I grumbled, unhappily acknowledging that she had good points.
I am going to need a week or so to get that level of essence to spare, unless a few people die off today. Let's try and get Dale again. Seeing him run for his life always cheers me up.
Ooh, taking them down today may come to pass. They were moving into a tunnel on the second floor that would drop a stone door behind them, flooding a small space with acid. I could hardly wait to taste that C-ranked essence from the main group. I caught my breath as they walked in, and with a joyful yell, I slammed the door down behind them. Their shouts of fear made my excitement rise to a fever pitch as I made preparations for large inputs of essence.
Calm down. There has to be a way out if we aren't dead yet.
The ever-calm Craig took control, looking around. His eyes widened as he saw the acid beginning to pour in, his mouth forming a grim line.
Look around for a lever, an opening, a button, anything out of place,
Hans directed, the sound of pouring liquid and hissing acid nearly drowning him out. The air was starting to become toxic as the stone melted, releasing fumes. Craig was moving his hands in complex patterns, light remaining where his nimble fingers moved. As Dale looked around wildly, his essence-infused eyes caught upon a lighter patch on the wall a foot above his head on the other side of the tunnel.
There!
He shouted, pointing at the spot. Acid had pooled between them and the button, so Steve pulled out an arrow and notched it to his bow.
No! You may break it,
Hans shouted, pushing the bow aside.
Josh!
Craig snapped, hands still fluttering.
Boot!
The benefit of working as a team for a long period of time was that complete sentences were rarely needed in dire circumstances. Josh moved over and held his armored leg up, the boot next to the glowing pattern in the air. Craig moved his hand again. What was obviously an enchantment flowed into being on the bottom of the proffered boot.
Go!
Josh ran at the acid flowing across the ground, not stopping as he flung himself at the bubbling fluid. I watched and waited for his foot to start melting when it became submerged in the hissing acid. Sadly, the rune on his boot flared to life, making the acid recede just enough to leave a dry spot on the floor where he landed. I was horrified as the area around him cleared of all liquid, though it was nearly a half inch deep just outside that zone. The others were on higher ground, but he should have been ooze by now. He sprinted, nearly flying across the now clear ground, and leapt to meet the button on the wall. With only a minor complaint, I saw the acid stop flowing and quickly drain away, leaving only scarred stone to show it had ever been there.
These guys were resourceful.
The door slowly raised behind them as the last dregs of fluid vanished. I was nothing if not fair.
"That was amazing!" Dale shouted, pumping his fist into the air and giving Hans a wild hug. "I never knew enchanting was so fast!"
"It normally isn't." Steve glanced at Craig with admiration. "Fast enchantments are dangerous. I highly doubt Craig would have done that if we weren't in deep shit there."
Craig gravely nodded. "Agreed. Let's avoid that in the future."
"What? That was cool. When will you teach me to enchant?" Dale excitedly bubbled.
"I may not. It depends on what you want to do when you learn all the other options. Enchanting isn't popular because you permanently lose a bit of your cultivation base for each enchantment and have to re-refine the key. Rebuilding your cultivation base is hard, as you know. When you use your essence for other, normal things, it will flow back into your center over time," Craig tiredly lectured. "With enchanting, it is just gone."
"Oh."
Dale was less eager now.
"You said what you did was dangerous?"
"If I did it wrong, it might have exploded or maybe just dissipated. If I made a correct rune, but not the one I was going for, it may have had unintended effects,"
Craig hedged.
"Like if you made the inverse."
Hans spoke out in a low tone, eliciting a shudder from the others.
"What?"
Dale hesitantly probed.
Josh took over.
"The inverse of a rune reverses its effects. Simple, right? In this case, instead of repelling the acid, it would have attracted all of it in range."
Dale joined in the shuddering, thinking about what would have happened if the acid had completely covered poor Josh. It would have been like he never existed.
"But he made it. Wouldn't he know if it were the inverse?" Dale prodded.
"When he made it, yeah. But what if he applied it upside down in his hurry before activating it?"
Hans explained.
"Oh."
Dale was quiet for a moment.
"I'm glad it worked out."
"I think we all are. Let's go kill a boss,"
Josh rumbled.
"I need some fresh air."
They moved away from the dead end, systematically searching each area, skillfully avoiding traps until they finally found my boss room. They were concerned at the bright light coming from the room until they saw the source, at which point they were excited by the new bright fighting arena. I say arena because we certainly had an audience today. People had been crowding along the area above until this group finally showed, at which point they started cheering and placing bets. Somehow the sound came in clearly from above, yet I'm fairly certain they could not hear what happened down here. My priorities had shifted a bit. While I did indeed still want some tasty essence, I really wanted that fluid repulsion enchantment. So, when my boss barreled out to the fight, amid cheering which filtered down from above, he charged directly at the large man, Josh. This must have surprised them. I think they expected me to go for Dale as per usual. Rail crashed into the defiantly held tower shield, easily bending it. This was a weak, shoddy substitute for the one he had lost in here previously. Josh shouted in pain as the metal crumpled around his arm, forced away a few feet before he tripped and sprawled flat on his back. Rail bounced forward as blows began raining onto him, his massive weight landing on the sundered shield held up for protection. The tortured metal began caving in as Rail furiously attacked the only exposed area, Josh's feet. Clamping down, Rail shook his head like a dog tearing into steak, but he was knocked away with a powerful blow from Craig. Trying to preserve Josh, the blow had sent Rail away from Josh's head, actually helping me pull the boot off. "Thanks, Craig." With an audible snap, Rail broke Josh's leg as he was launched away, the boot flying into the distance.
I devoured the boot and the enchantment it held with a moan of pleasure, filing the information away for later use. Wow, does Craig make tasty enchantments? So much essence! Rael returned to the battle, attempting to maul the man on the ground, but being body-blocked by the others. Dale pulled Josh onto his good foot as Rael bounced high and started descending like an avalanche toward the place Josh had lain. Unable to dodge fully out of the way, both Dale and Josh went flying. Josh's head slammed into the wall, where he slumped to the ground unconscious. This was going far better than expected. Now two tasty people were on the ground for me to squash, while Rael had taken almost no damage yet. I bounded in, ready to finish them. I jumped, my temporary body angling to flatten Dale when an arrow slammed into the armor of the head I was inhabiting. The force didn't penetrate, but it did knock my, Rael's, skull forward, creating an awkward landing that pushed my head into the wall, next to Dale. He stared into Rael's eyes as I struggled to regain control. Luckily, his stick wasn't small enough for him to swing and do damage in this confined space. Thinking I had the upper hand, I was shocked when Dale reached into a pocket and withdrew a gleaming dagger that he slammed into the eye next to him. That bastard! He had never had a dagger before! Vindictively, I angled Rael in his death throes so he would land on Dale, hopefully crushing the life out of him. As Rael's corpse landed, I could hear the breath explode from Dale's body alongside a meaty crunch, which made me rather cheerful. Maybe this battle wasn't a waste. The others worked quickly to lever Rael's body off of Dale, showing a non-breathing adventurer. Hans jumped over and pushed on Dale's chest a few times while furiously screaming. I am fairly certain the screaming did the trick, forcing Dale to take a breath in subliminal fear. While he coughed explosively, I sadly watched all of that essence get away. Drat. They moved to Josh, who moaned as they removed his helmet.
You okay, big man?
Hans probed, patting Josh on the arm.
Yeah, Josh groaned, slowly getting up. Powerful protection run on that helmet. Should have squashed me like a bug.
He spat out a bit of blood, gesturing at the giant basher. He looked over at Dale and frowned.
How'd you kill it, lad?
Dale was still trying to get his mind off of nearly being killed.
I had a dagger on me. I was able to stick him before he got back up.
I didn't teach you to use a dagger. Is it new? Do you have a new teacher you like better?
Hans feigned hurt at the thought of another man teaching him how to use a knife.
No. Ha! Just nearly got stabbed this morning and decided to take a trophy,
Dale wheezed. He handed the dagger over so Hans could see it. Craig looked up from the dead basher.
Dale, you didn't penetrate its brain. How did you kill it?
Craig.
Hans had a serious tone in his voice, which made everyone look at him. A serious Hans made everyone nervous.
This is a demonologist blade.
Are you certain?
Craig inspected the blade as well.
I see no infernal essence on it.
Hans shook his head.
Infernal essence doesn't hold well in inscriptions. It pulls its energy from its victims to power itself. I am unsure what this rune does, but we should get it to a spotter immediately.
Hans turned toward Dale.
The life essence in that boss mob was ripped out. Good job with those reflexes, but you should never use an unknown weapon, especially one with an obvious inscription like this.
He held up the dagger. It was plain to me that the twisted pattern nearly screamed its hatred for life.
I didn't even think about that.
A downcast Dale kicked at a loose rock.
I was so caught up in today.
I was watching that dagger. A new inscription was something I dearly wanted to eat. Especially if I wouldn't have a chance later, them giving it away and all. I had planned on giving them just standard loot, but I wanted a distraction. I generated a shower of silver coins to catch their attention and dropped a massive metal tower shield behind them when they looked toward the money. The resulting boom clatter was enough for them to jump, badly startled.
Jumpy, aren't they?
At the same time as the noise, a glitter flit I had been directing smacked into the hand Hans was holding the dagger in, sending it flying. The distractions provided me with a brand new dagger and inscription which I would be sure to study. Only Hans saw a flash of gold as the glitter flit sped into hiding again.
Son of a—
Hans began shouting.
What happened?
Steve whirled around as a joyful whoop sounded from Josh.
It's beautiful,
Josh stated, voice somewhere between a whisper and a scream.
Look at this pattern! These runes are immaculate! I can't wait to use it!
He was holding the inscribed massive shield with his non-mangled arm, the other bent at odd angles which he ignored.
So pretty!
Something took the dagger, Hans tried to warn the group.
Can I keep it?
Josh was asking, looking around at the others wildly.
Please?
None of us could use it, Josh.
Craig moved toward him, speaking softly.
It is all yours, okay? How about we head back now?
So I can keep it?
Josh again begged.
Of course you can, Craig promised soothingly, looking into Josh's eyes. I think you have a concussion, my friend.
No, it's a shield,
Josh assured him, holding it a little higher.
I know it is. How about you look at it for a while?
Craig turned toward the group. We need to go. An injury to the brain is one I do not feel ready to heal.
A moment, please.
Steve gathered the fallen coin, looking for any other dropped things.
What a greedy adventurer.
I had no intention of giving them anything else. After all, I had not regained any of Rael's lost essence thanks to my new knife.
Let's be off.
Hans nodded as he finished his search. They turned to go, so I dropped a rock near the hidden stairwell. They turned, weapons drawn, to look at the disturbance. Hans flew forward, hoping to catch whatever it was off guard, and so was the one to find the stairs.
Over here! A stairwell.
He waved them over to this unknown obstacle. They looked at the stairs and almost ignored them, nearly leaving for the known route when the lolling head of Josh convinced them to move upward. After the first few steps, the door behind them swung closed, the only light in the area being the essence in the stone around them. They reached the top after a few minutes of huffing and puffing. 380 steps wears anyone down, I'm told. I wouldn't know. No legs. As they touched the wall, it swung outward, revealing a cheering crowd who were describing the battle they had just witnessed. The cheering got louder as the raucous crowd noticed the famous fighters had suddenly joined them. A cleric ran over, healing light flowing from his hands as he reached for Josh. A few less interested people tried to force their way into the stone gazebo I was closing. I didn't try to stop them. A few made it in, cheering at their good luck. Those few ran down toward the boss room while the door closed behind them. Little did they know, it wouldn't reopen. I guess this battle wasn't an entire waste for me today. I'm sure their constant crying will be annoying for a few hours, but I'm also sure it won't last too long. Not much air in the stairwell, after all. I turned my mind to the knowledge I had gained that day, thinking over the concepts and ideas that were flowing through me. The inscriptions were very interesting, but I was very curious as to what I could do with inverted runes. It reversed the effect of the rune, Craig says. I drew an inverted rune on the ground in a small room and powered it with a tiny burst of essence. This was the rune that would increase the strength of armor when applied normally, so I was unsure of what would happen when it was inverted. I dropped a boot on it and watched it glow, though seemingly nothing was happening. After a few seconds, the boot sagged and fell apart, the leather falling into scraps. Already joyfully thinking of the applications, I tried again, this time with a metal helmet.
I carefully watched it as apparent stress fractures made their way along the metal. Anywhere it connected to another piece of the metal, it quickly corroded until it finally clattered apart. What remained on the rune for a while longer fell apart further until only oxidized, rusty metal scraps remained.
Holy cow!
Danny breathed.
It looks like what you do to anything that doesn't have an aura when you absorb it. This could be a way for you to get patterns for armor even when you don't take down the person wearing it.
I agree. This could be fun. Let's test other inverted runes, too. Also...
Yeah?
What's a cow?
20. Dale walked out of the gazebo and was so stunned by the sudden noise and crowd that he couldn't stop the people who pushed past him into the waiting tunnel.
That's a terrible idea!
He shouted as they rushed downward, the door seamlessly grinding closed behind them. Craig just shook his head and waited for the cleric to be finished with Josh, who had focus returning to his eyes as the celestial energy flowed around his brain, clearing the built-up blood and reducing swelling. Josh blinked a few times as the cleric moved back a step, then thanked him.
Oh! Josh suddenly shouted. Ah! My arm!
The very bent arm by his side was apparent to all. A few weak-stomached people were noisily sick as they noticed the ruined flesh. More were sick as they watched the arm get pulled on by the others to straighten it as Josh screamed in pain.
Pull it straight, you heartless bastards!
Josh was shrieking.
Do it! Ah!
The flow of celestial energy appeared again, quickly soothing and straightening the proffered arm.
You missed a kink there,
the nameless cleric noticed, pointing to a knot on Josh's ankle. Hans looked at the spot, and before Josh could tense up, he quickly twisted the foot, the grinding of bone audible only until the retching sounds drowned it out. A burst of essence set him right. The ankle healed again, if tender.
Well, that was unpleasant, Josh panted in an attempt to seem nonchalant.
His face, pale with tears streaming, showed that he was not immune to the pain.
Luckily, it won't happen again.
He held up the new shield, flaunting it for the onlookers, then reached out and bound it to himself with a burst of essence.
Just in case, he winked at Dale.
Turning to the cleric, Josh motioned him close.
Thank you for your timely assistance, brother. Please, accept this, a token of my thanks.
He handed the man several silver coins, his portion of the day's dungeon dive. The dumbfounded cleric stammered his thanks as his team pulled him away to begin their day in the dungeon.
Why would you give him so much money?
Dale scoffed quietly at Josh, who was looking fondly after the retreating cleric.
That is enough to live comfortably for a month.
A good healer is a man you curry favor with. You see, lad, there is a very important lesson to be learned here. When you are able to be generous, do so. There will always come a time when you cannot afford what you need. People will be far more likely to help you when you fall on hard times if you are free with money in the good times.
Josh smiled a bit painfully at Dale.
Go out of your way to be respectful to the one who brings you your food, holds your money, and most importantly, those who work to heal you. That cleric expected nothing for his service, now goes into danger with less power because of me. How could I do less for him?
Dale hung his head a bit.
I had not considered things that way. Sorry, Josh. I wasn't trying to sound like he didn't deserve it. I think I've just had a bad day and my manners have gone to trash.
I know, lad.
Josh had never looked so uncomfortable, including his recent bone shattering.
You're a good man, just... Remember that you have had some very lucky breaks, and life is still pretty hard for other people. Try to give back. People will appreciate it if they know the person they depend on is good-hearted.
I'll try. I'm going to go catch a nap before lunch, I think.
Hans scoffed.
Smelling like a sweaty rabbit turd? How about you go bathe instead? Nap, he says. Nap indeed.
I need to go give my report to the guild and get some guards and a scribe over to this new exit, Craig announced, already walking away from them. The guild needs its taxes.
Dale. Roughly a month passed, with the team settling into their routines. Dale had just returned from bathing after dinner when a shout rang out, "They are going to open the portal!" Anyone not engaged in serious tasks started excitedly moving toward the stone obelisks standing proudly on the small hill. Dale decided this may be fun to join, as he had never even seen a portal before. The anger James had for him kept him away from the site they were building on. A sonorous chant was swelling. Energy, like static, was flashing along the paired standing stone obelisks. Dale moved into his essence-enhanced sight, trying to understand what was happening. Mana was thick in the air, though it was normally invisible to the naked eye. With the activation of his analysis ability, it was readily apparent. He had thought that all mana would look alike, like essence did, and with a group working together like this, he had expected a harmonious linking of energy as they meshed their sympathetic energy toward a single purpose. In his mind, mana was going to be beautiful. The reality was almost disgusting. It was a clash of primary colors and a visionary cacophony. As one man directed his words, his chant, Dale saw it as a polka-dotted scroll that unraveled and wrapped around the stone. One woman, singing, seemed to have inky bubbles roiling from her mouth, which burst in a sequence of light, filling precious gems with power. Amber had the most terrifying mana moving away from her, the oily coloration roiling in light and impressions, unrefined chaos that the mind interposed its own images on. Dale shuddered, looking past the mana, instead trying to look at what they were putting mana into. The twin obelisks stood, one exactly the same as the other, though in reverse, as they were mirror images of the other. Slowly, brightening rune script flowed up and around each in so many varied and opulent ways that it was nigh impossible to find where each began and the surrounding runes stopped. Each inscription was filled with gold that had been poured in a single setting, leaving not a single break, weld, or splatter along the glowing lines. Exactly the same amount of power went into each stone, and they began to hum to their own song, dulling each time the mana reached a new gem set into the patterns. At precisely the same time on each standing stone, the gem would grow nearly too bright to look at, then darken as the mana continued up the flowing golden pattern. The crowd was silent, completely awestruck as enough energy was accumulated into this one spot to begin to punch through the dimensional boundaries. The power became audible, snapping and hissing, the sound of a star detonating and being reborn as a furious and colossal terror of the void. The opening expanded. A hole of pure darkness was pulled torturously to the artificial terminus represented by pure, glowing energy. The edge of the hole in the universe extended, straining to this glowing end, finally hooking like a fish taking bait. That is, furiously and with dark intent of escape. The chanting increased, the vent-a-black interior shuddered before finally relinquishing to the mage's control, shimmering into a vision of another locale in the world. Silence reigned for but a moment as the crowd tried to comprehend what they had just witnessed, some hardened men shaking in terror before a roar of approval tore from the throat of an astonished onlooker. Then, cheering, shouting, the men praised the makers of this wondrous relic. The exhausted mages beamed as a festival air took hold. People rushed to enlist the services of these esteemed experts.
I want to get to the capital of...
I have important... Please, I haven't seen my...
Get out of the way, I'm...
The rush of noise, and soon violence, was shocking to Dale. This entire event reminded him that there was more to life than training and fighting, but also the spectacular end goal you could achieve when you had been training. It was a paradox that made him freeze up, torn between rushing back to the dungeon or just joining the melee that was rapidly spiraling out of control, just to feel alive.
Enough!
A familiar voice sounded, laced with absolute authority. The sound reverberated through his entire being, insisting upon instant obedience. 60% of the fighting men and women stopped, their bodies no longer their own to control, while the others looked like they were moving through thick tar, their motion slowly coming to an absolute halt. Some of the weaker people passed out, their lungs unable to pull in air. All then collapsed to the ground, breathing restored to the gasping group.
Are you animals? Are you no better than the creatures you came here to fight?
Frank was walking toward the new portal.
I am ashamed. Ashamed of my own people. Any guild members who started a fight, go to the clerks and pay the fee for fighting with your brothers in arms. Any who protected another, go collect a bonus from them. Any non-guild members, if you ever want a chance at joining the guild, go and make amends now. It is standard that if you have attacked a guild member outside of self-defense, you may not join the guild. We will pardon you this one time, as the majority were from my guild.
Frank roared furiously, face an unhealthy maroon color.
I will not tolerate this! If any do something so foolish again, their guild fee will be raised to 50% of all valuables gained for a year. A third time, and they are out of the guild and blacklisted!
He stared around at the quaking people and snorted in disgust.
Why are you still here? You have your orders. Get moving!
People scrambled in all directions. Some would have been trampled if the threat of guild expulsion were not hanging in the air. Hans walked over to Dale, standing by as they watched the ocean of motion.
Well, that was fun, Hans chuckled glibly.
What did he do to them, Hans? This has been so messed up,
Dale shuddered.
I just want to go to bed.
Never seen old Frankie in action, eh? Not too surprising. Not too much around here calls for the workings of an A-ranked mage.
Hans stretched a bit as he began walking to the portal.
He's a magus?
Dale's eyes widened in shock. He had been rude to Frank on several occasions.
Oh, yes. You don't get to be in charge of things if you are weak, my boy. Those mages can get pretty scary. How their power manifests is mind-numbing,
Hans expressed in a low, dark tone. Dale agreed with him.
I saw. What was all of that? Essence seems to look pretty much the same, doesn't it? Why is mana so different?
Mana is unique to the person who uses it. It is the true name and power of something that influences reality in the way they want it to. From what I understand, when you first say a word in that language, for lack of a better word, your essence becomes a concept of reality that you have uttered.
Dale was more confused than he had been at the start of the conversation.
How then do they do different things? Don't they have control of just one thing?
Hans shook his head.
Something you will have to learn is that all of reality is really one single event. Though the concept they interpret is different for everyone, it can affect most things equally. Dangerously. It is a terrifying power to wield. I cannot even imagine what spiritual energy looks like. Never ran into an S-ranked before.
Hans nearly whispered, giving a small shudder.
What did Frank actually do, though?
Dale insisted on understanding at least one piece of this talk.
From what he told me of the word he uses, it seems to be the basis for movement. Really hard to explain, Hans apologetically informed him. Think of it like this. When you move your arm, first your muscles bunch, then leap toward your target, right?
Dale nodded affirmative. Hans smiled. Right. So all of that potential movement, which builds up when your muscles are getting ready to move, is the concept that Frank's words embody. He took everyone's potential movement away.
Holy! Dale was stunned at this. Didn't some stop instantly, though?
Yeah. All the guild members he outranks. So every guild member that was in the area. Hans glanced at Dale.
You do understand that entering the guild, signing that document, ensures that everyone has to follow lawful orders, correct? That is what he enforced just now.
Wow. Dale shook his head. That is just the next level up from essence?
I cannot understand what the higher rankings would be like.
Guess we're just going to have to wait and see,
Hans happily chattered, clapping Dale on the shoulder.
Feel like getting a hot meal halfway across the world? If I recall correctly, you get free access for yourself
and friends, he finished with a broad wink.
Why not? You'll show me around, right? I've never been off the mountains.
Hans suddenly contemplated what he would be able to see soon.
You know it. Get your money. I know just the place to bring you.
Hans grinned, a worrisome glint coming into his eyes. They went and prepared themselves, then regrouped and joined the rather long queue that was slowly moving into the portal. Dale spotted Father Richard ahead, nearly bouncing as he waited his turn. Dale had to laugh at the man's antics.
Think he's going to go find some stonemasons?
Dale casually looked over at Hans, pointing at the powerful priest.
Who?
Hans peered about.
Father Richard, over there.
Oh, most likely, I guess.
Dale, about Father Richard, I've heard some...
A bellowing voice reached them abruptly.
Dale! Dale, wait, please!
They turned toward this voice to see James, the portal maker, running toward them. He stopped, panting, face flush and eyes wild.
Oh. Hello, James.
Dale spoke coolly.
How can I help you?
Dale was still rather displeased with James, his insults still fresh in his mind.
Dale, please, I want to apologize. I wronged you and acted like a buffoon, holding prejudices for no reason other than to have them. Please don't make me leave.
James begged.
This place, I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, now we get to the crux of it,
Hans interjected snidely.
Realized how profitable this area is going to be? How the dungeon has been churning out ruined items like a merchant churns out turds?
Dale looked at Hans, startled at this unforeseen attitude. Hans, mistaking the look, gave an explanation.
They churn turds out frequently, because they eat so much.
Dale?
You okay?
Dale's face was beet red. Abruptly he erupted into laughter. Hans looked a bit confused, until he also started laughing. James looked shocked, and then affronted, assuming they were calling him names, laughing at him for some reason.
You don't have to be cruel about it. I'll go. The enchantment is already pulling me toward the portal. I may as well just...
James decreed sharply. He turned and started to pace away.
Wait! Dale snorted around his laughter. You're fine, James. You don't have to go. Just try not to be an ass to everyone. It isn't too fun when someone has so much power and you can't do anything to stop it, right?
No. It is not,
James enunciated bitingly.
Well, that's what you were trying to do when we met. I hope you can see the parallels in the situation. Bullying me and being pushy, with no regard for my opinion, simply due to your overwhelming strength.
Dale smiled to soften the insult.
Let's meet up and talk sometime. I'd love to hear about portal making. Plus, I would really rather have you as a friend than an enemy.
They left James standing there with a shocked look still on his face as they walked over to the open portal, which they stepped through after a brief talk with the attendant, who marked something in a ledger book. 21. Dale dropped to the ground, heaving.
Ah, the best and worst feeling in the world, Hans chattered, glancing fondly at the portal.
The worst...
Dale didn't puke, the long-distant breakfast being the only reason. The dry heaving wasn't fun, though.
Oi! Move it, you're about to be trampled!
The attendant on this side of the portal shouted.
Oops, forgot to tell you to close your eyes when you came through.
Hans grasped Dale, moving him forward as more people appeared in the spot they had been. Luckily, the design of the portal made it like walking through a door, not creating matter in the same area, else portal magic would have quickly gone out of style, with the exploding people and whatnot. Dale looked around, quickly forgetting his nausea. This was a beautiful area, and the trees and flowers gave off a heady fragrance. A tang of salt was in the air as well, reminding Dale that the Lion Kingdom capital was adjacent to the ocean. The whitewashed stone of the surrounding buildings gave off a glare where the sun struck them, making him quickly avert his eyes. His clothing, thick wool under the armor he wore constantly, was already beginning to accumulate sweat as his body registered the heat and humidity of the region.
This is, Dale breathed, hot, beautiful, and filthy,
Hans supplied cynically. Dale looked at him askance.
Filthy? Under all that paint and rosy perfume, this is still a city.
Last year the shit piled so high in the streets that the king finally noticed, since his daughter's horse slipped in it and she got a bit, messy. Hans quieted near the end of his tale.
Don't go telling that story too loudly. They're still a bit, sensitive about it here. Anyway, the kingdom paid off the guild and hired water mages to flood the worst of the streets. This allowed careful flushing of everything foul off and away, even the homeless that lived in the streets.
That's good? Getting rid of the poop, at least. Seems a bit temporary, though, Dale ventured.
They just washed people away? Right. Good head on those shoulders, boyo.
Well, he also bought most of the Earth Mages in the city, their services at least, and they've been building an elaborate sewage system under the city. Have been for the better part of a year.
Hans grimaced with finality. And yes, they don't particularly care about people that refuse to work for a living. To be homeless in the city, you need a license from the Beggars Guild, which is not a guild approved by the realm.
Dale decided he didn't really want to get into a political discussion, so he returned to the sewer system. Why does building it take so long? Seems like it wouldn't be too hard to make a tunnel with mana.
Ah, now you come to the crux of the matter. Stonework is hard and expensive, but when it is done right, it stays in place pretty much forever.
Stone mages convince the stone that this is the shape they've always wanted. It would take intense destructive power to convince them otherwise. Hans sagely imparted wisdom. The king does care about his working citizens, though, which is the only reason this project is being successful. Since the cost is so high, short-term planners don't really see the worth of the idea, as the common citizens are the main beneficiaries of it. Oh, well, I guess I don't really see why it's such a big deal if they can just cheaply wash it away every once in a while, Dale suggested.
There is the argument of the uneducated, my friend. Filth in the streets like that causes unrest, disease, and is a strong blow to morale. Not to mention, who likes shit on their feet?
Hans intently made eye contact.
The sewers will make the place healthier, wealthier, and happier for everyone.
More so for cultivators like us, who may live here a very long time. Dale was quiet, considering Hans's words. Hans, why do you know these things? I mean, I know you've been around for a longer time than me, but...
Hans was quiet a short while, a considering look passing along his face. Finally, he began softly. Dale, I Don't want you to think poorly of me, but I'll tell you a bit about myself if you'd like. Dale nodded, eager to learn about any of his tight-lipped squadmates. All right. Well, I grew up here, Hans started as they walked along a palm tree-lined street. I was the lowest of the low, basically an orphan for how much I saw my father. My mother died before I ever knew her. Undisciplined, wild, and hungry, I joined the street gangs that roam the streets. Kids my age, governed by usually just one adult, someone who survived in the gang long enough to be called an adult at least. The guards are not kind to thieves if they are caught. Dale gazed on in surprise. He had never expected these revelations. He remained quiet, knowing an interruption might stop the flow of information. I distinguished myself a little too much. I was careless and boasted of my success. A thief, a real thief, from one of the hidden guilds, approached me and offered training. It is not an offer you say no to, not if you plan to live. Soon after, I was being taught everything you would expect. Stealth, legerdemain, better ways to pickpocket. Hans glanced at Dale to see if he had his attention. Anyway, then I was suddenly learning things I didn't expect. Numbers, letters, politics, current events, etiquette. They had a plan for me, to make a big haul. I ended up in the guild hall, of all places, at a fancy dinner for the sons and daughters of nobility. We talked, danced, and ate fine food. They never suspected a thing, but always walked away with less jewelry or coins. Hans reminisced fondly. Such easy marks. But my real target was a cache of memory stones locked in the same rooms, the cultivation techniques of the great houses of nobility. Hans caught the surprised look on Dale's face and grimaced. Not all cultivation techniques are equal. The royal family draws essence in as a raging river compared to the trickle of most commoners' slow dripping. If someone had access to this outside of the royals, it would allow for even cultivation all around the kingdom. Why isn't that the case, then? Do they just like to subjugate their populations? Dale spoke with heat in his voice. What? No! Hans yelped, surprised. The lifespan of mages and above is measured in centuries. The entire time they are capable of siring children. Can you imagine what would happen to us if we had hundreds of millions capable of living for that long? They keep their abilities so they can rule wisely and justly, as well as being the last line of defense for their kingdom. Their minds don't wander. Their bodies are strong. Dale was confused. All he had ever heard was that royals and nobility took and never gave aught back. Hans was saying that it was actually because they were trying to preserve their reliant citizens. Dale, everyone can cultivate, but as you know, it takes time and effort. Also, lots and lots of pain. People still go off to adventure, but a large portion of them die quickly. What if everyone was a full-time cultivator? No other professions would flourish, and civilization would stagnate. We need everyone, from the lowliest cleaner to the mightiest warrior. Without all of what we are, we would all likely die off. Dale finally nodded in acknowledgement.
I see. So, if we had no farmers, because they were more interested in becoming fighters, people would starve for their neglect. No clothing makers, no chefs, no cleaners.
Exactly. In fact, that happens when war breaks out, other jobs get forgotten, and the entire realm suffers for it. It is a sad fact of life as a human, Hans told Dale, clapping him on the arm with a happy smile.
Now back to my story. I had opened the drawer with the memory stones and was taking my leave of the party when a flesh mage showed up.
At Dale's incomprehension, Hans informed him.
A flesh mage is a water mage who specializes in changing, distorting, all-around altering of bodies. Usually human flesh, you see. They can find anyone, anywhere, if they have even a drop of their blood.
They can also follow people from the imprints they leave on the world. Since I had opened the cabinet last, they somehow followed my trail back to the Thieves' Guild.
They sound horrible. Dale thought about what kind of a person you would need to be to willingly work on living people.
They are actually rather popular. They are very good healers and can make people look however they want, given time. Women go to them to remove blemishes or supposed disfigurements, or just to enhance their natural beauty. Men go to them for similar reasons. In my case, though, they were coming for revenge, Hans explained, looking a bit despondent. When they found it was a den of thieves, they carelessly massacred everyone there, but finding all the memory stones intact, they stopped caring about me and left, the only reason I'm alive today. Instead of blaming them for the deaths of my friends, I was impressed by their ability to do whatever they wanted. I joined the guild as soon as they would take me, years later.
When did that all happen? Dale queried.
Oh, 40-ish years ago, maybe 45.
Who remembers? Besides,
we are here, Hans exclaimed, pointing up.
Dale looked away from his friend and saw they were standing outside a garishly colored building with suggestive yet refined paintings on the walls. His face got red as he made the assumption as to what kind of establishment this was.
Hans,
was all he got out before he was pushed inside by his grinning friend.
Okay, Hans, you were right. Dale groaned as he exhaustedly waved a hand to his friend. I never knew this could be so amazing.
I told you this was the place to be,
Hans purred.
Dale moaned. I will never not come back here. It could never be better.
What if you were married? Would you tell your wife that?
Hans teased.
Yes. She would have to accept it. Or I could bring her here and she could try it for herself.
Dale sighed contentedly.
I don't know. She may like it too much, and that could get expensive.
Hans winked at him. Just then, a busty lady walked over to them.
Hello. I hope everything was as pleasurable as possible for you today.
She softly addressed them in a husky voice.
Madame, everything was as wonderful as it could have been.
Hans heaped praise on her.
There is no better place to have a meal than at the pleasure house. I don't know how your cooks do it, but it is worth every copper.
I will send your compliments to the chef.
She laughed with a smile.
It has been too long, dear Hans. Visit again soon. I'd love to get to know your friend better.
She looked at Dale, considering.
Actually, I have a granddaughter about your age, and if I know Hans, you would be a good match for her.
Dale was blushing as hard as Hans was laughing.
Ha! You always know how to tickle my sense of humor. No, madame, he is a cultivator and has no time for relationships, maybe in 30 years.
A cultivator. So young, and already nearly into the D-rankings. Quite a catch indeed,
she murmured, glancing at him solicitously. Dale was still too tongue-tied to babble anything, so Hans again took over.
Such a gracious host. Maybe the next time we visit we can meet this lass.
When might that be?
She challenged archly, expecting him to say something fancy and disappear for years again.
Ah, when the wind blows us back to this fair city.
She humphed and started walking away when Hans surprised her.
Luckily, that may be soon, as a portal just opened to this young man's home.
A new portal? So you are training at the new dungeon? Is it true that it is unaffiliated? The essence? Anyone can absorb it?
She seemed suddenly nearly desperate, which she tried and failed to hide.
Yes!
Dale finally loosened his tongue and responded too loudly. He coughed.
Yes, it is.
So far.
Do you know any way that I could send my granddaughter there to train as a cultivator?
Madame demanded.
Dale looked at Hans for help.
Also, I could not send her there alone. I would need to establish a restaurant there myself. I am sure you all needed to work out